Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word spoken this morning. We thank you for this account of that amazing morning where the disciples went to find an empty tomb. We pray, Lord, that no matter how many times we've heard this account, may it fall upon our ears and our hearts afresh today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Well, you'll have to forgive me if you've been coming along to Holy Trinity over the last few weeks. I've already referred to the UK a few times, but we've been there for the last 10 years, so I'm afraid most of my stories tend to be drawn from there. But hopefully in time, those stories will be replaced by Tasmanian experiences. So bear with me in the meantime. But as I was reflecting on our passages this morning, it reminded me of a trip that my family and I made. You see, where we lived, just on the south coast of England, off into the not too far distance is the Isle of Wight. Has anyone been to the Isle of Wight or seen the Isle of Wight? It's very famous for sailing. There's a huge sailing event that happens there at Cowes, spelt C-O-W-E-S. It's also very famous for being the beloved retreat of Queen Victoria. She spent many years there after Albert died and had to be coaxed back to London after a spell. It's an island that we could see from Bournemouth, where we lived for 10 years. You can just see it off into the distance, and it's quite close. And due to that, it wouldn't be long before we found ourselves on the ferry from Lymington in the New Forest across the Solent to a place near Allen Bay, which is where we hoped, driving our car, we would travel to a place called the Needles. It's a little rock formation that is evidence to show that the Isle of Wight was once connected to the mainland. It's all that's left, and they call them the Needles. And so our highlight, and keep this in mind, our highlight and our purpose for going to the Isle of Wight was to see the Needles. Okay? Looking back, we couldn't have asked for a better day. The sun was shining, the sky was blue. Don't let anyone tell you that in the UK it rains every day. It does not. And we had one of those beautiful days. It is cold, but we had one of those beautiful days. And so we could look back to the mainland. It was beautiful. Everything was wonderful. And as we approached the lookout, the highlight, remember, we were invited into a museum by a lady who probably volunteered, and we thought we should go in. It was where all the artifacts of how the island had a very important part to play as an observation place for during the Second World War and so on and so forth. So we thought, well, we'd go in there. And we were there for 10 minutes. 10 minutes. However, when we came back outside, we were amazed to find the whole area had been shrouded in thick fog. It was so thick, you could hardly see in front of you. We managed very carefully, and some would say foolishly, to make our way still to the lookout, ever optimistic. We decided to wait there for about 20 minutes. We opened our snacks. We ended up eating lunch. Still, nothing changed. And so we made our way back to the car, disappointed and somewhat bewildered at how quickly things had changed. I'm sure in a much more dramatic way and an emotional way, as Christ was crucified, his disciples would have felt enshrouded by fog. The fog of doubt, the fog of anxiety. Initially, I expect that they could see only one meaning to the events that unfolded before them. Hope was lost because Jesus was now dead. But the testimony of many witnesses would record that Easter Sunday morning brought with it the glorious fact that Jesus had been risen, or had risen, should I say. The reality, despite all the appearances, despite all the fog that must have descended upon them, was that Christ had won. Because by dying, Christ had conquered death and sin, and through his resurrection came new life for those who believed in him. Imagine for a moment what it would have been like as you arrived at the tomb way back then, expecting to see it sealed and guarded with a dead body enclosed, only to find it open and empty. I wonder how you would have responded had you been there. Our gospel reading this morning tells us of those first arrivals at the tomb. Momentarily, at least, they fail to see the deeper significance of what they are witnessing. Firstly, Mary Magdalene and other women come to the tomb and see an empty crypt. They see the heavy stone has been moved. They see there is no body in the tomb. But at this point, at least, they fail to see beyond the darkness. Responding to the women's testimony, we notice that the disciples do not believe them because their words seem like nonsense. In Luke's account, it's Peter who runs to the tomb. In John's gospel that Colin read for us this morning, Peter and John run together. John, did you notice, arrives first, but for some reason he hesitates. He bends down and looks into the tomb, and instead of seeing Jesus, he only sees the linen that Jesus had been wrapped in. He didn't enter. Perhaps out of respect, because this was, after all, the place where a dead body had been laid. Then Peter arrives shortly after John, and true to the character that we've all come to know as we read our scriptures, Peter bounds straight into the tomb. Peter not only notices the grave clothes, but he also notices a headcloth neatly folded and away from the rest of the linen. I wonder if you can identify with any of those personalities on that Easter morning. For me, I think I tend to relate more to John. I like to step back and take it all in before confidently moving forward, of course. How do you approach the resurrection of Jesus? Perhaps you identify more with Mary. Perhaps fear or anxiety fog your view of the resurrected Jesus. Others may be like Peter, initially bounding in without fear and trepidation, but later caught up with the finer details, perplexed when things don't quite work out the way we think they should. For these three disciples of Jesus, it wasn't long before they came to see the significance of this Easter Sunday morning. They soon came to see in the empty tomb a promise had been kept. Jesus himself, hadn't he, had predicted the resurrection event on several occasions. Two men in clothes gleaming like lightning remind the women of Jesus' own words back in Galilee, that he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men, that he would be crucified, but on the third day he would rise again. They would also come to see in the empty tomb a victory had been won. The very fact that Jesus had died and had been resurrected meant that death and sin had now been conquered. In fulfillment of prophecies such as those uttered by Isaiah and Hosea, and indeed by Jesus himself, they would come to see that in the empty tomb an offer had been made. An offer that begins with love. God's love. A love that would offer those believing in this risen Saviour life everlasting. An offer that only God could make. And what an offer! Friends, Christ's resurrection on that first Easter Sunday assures us that our faith is placed in the right person, that Jesus is the Son of God, that in Jesus true forgiveness of sin is possible, that the new life that he promised for today and beyond the grave is available to all who believe. Mary, The other women, Peter and John, could have allowed their fears, their anxieties, their caution to prevent them from experiencing the resurrection in all its glory. However, we are told that having seen the empty tomb, they later saw the risen Lord and believed. On this Easter Sunday, we too approach the empty tomb. What will be our response? Will fog prevent us from not just seeing and believing, but embracing our risen and reigning Saviour? You know, you may already know this if you follow church history, but since the time of Jesus, Easter has been a great time for those who want to respond to faith, to their faith, and to his death and resurrection by presenting themselves for baptism. And we know, don't we, that in baptism we affirm our belonging to the community of God's people, to all of those other brothers and sisters who have placed their faith in this risen Lord Jesus. Through baptism, if you know how the baptism service works and how the liturgy flows, you will know that we embrace, as it were, the death of Christ. We don't tend to do it with babies, you'll be pleased to know, but for adults, they go under the water, symbolically going down into the water so that our sinful nature is buried with Christ, and then we rise again to acknowledge that we've put sin behind us, and in Jesus' strength we live a new life. Effectively, we put to death those things in our life that would separate us from God. And as we are brought to new life in Christ, we are given the opportunity to share in Jesus' resurrection and to walk in the fullness of life that only he can offer. A life of joy and peace, as we come to realize what we thought were our deepest needs turn out not to be. And we are reminded that we have a deeper purpose that we may not have appreciated in the past. Maybe you are sitting here this morning and you can reflect on things that have prevented you from experiencing the power of the resurrected Jesus in your life. Perhaps you have been unable to see the empty tomb for what it is. Back to our visit to the Isle of Wight. You know what was amazing that day as we drove away from the Needles? In just a few minutes, we were out of the fog. The sun was shining, and we could see over to the north of the island this curtain of mist that had just come and settled, much to our annoyance, over the very place and highlight that we thought we were going to experience. As long as we stayed in that place of fog, we would see nothing. But we discovered as long as we stayed south of the fog, we would be bathed in glorious sunshine and light. Today, friends, I pray that this Easter, the fog that sometimes comes upon us will lift, and that we might see the life-changing significance of the empty tomb afresh, or maybe even for the first time. And as the fog clears, as we seek to grow in our love and knowledge of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, that we will see Jesus standing in glorious victory. That we would come to see there is no longer any need to live in fear or with anxiety, to feel stuck in our sin, or to live with uncertainty about the future. I pray that you will, that I will, as it were, move this Easter Sunday away from the fog and into the arms of the one who showed his great love for us. The one who, even bowing under the weight of all our sin, triumphed over hell, triumphed under those who would scoff at him as he carried the cross to Calvary. Nothing could hold him down, and we can claim that same victory as we put ourselves into the arms of a loving Saviour and receive the Spirit of God in our lives. Friends, we serve a risen Saviour. And we can stand secure and with assurance in the power and love of the one who died and rose again, so that we could be free. Now, I enjoy a public holiday as much as the rest of you. If the weather holds, and I think it will, we have a couple of extra days this weekend, throughout today and into tomorrow. And is Tuesday a public holiday as well? No. No, I'm getting some shrugs. Let's just say yes. Let's say yes. Lots of time. Lots of time to reflect and to respond. Time to do a quick inventory of my life, of my work and ministry, of my home, my leisure, my finances, my career plans, my retirement plans, and to ask myself, do I truly worship a risen Saviour? I wonder, would you join me in that exercise? Because Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord. Is he yours? Father, we thank you for your grace, for your love, and for your promises. And we claim them afresh today. In Jesus' name. Amen.